Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Episode 588. How can my child be so sweet one minute and so sour the next? Welcome to the show today, where I am going to be talking about how our kids can literally turn on a dime and they can become raging beasts of children, horrible children, attitude-filled children, snippety, really quite nasty, and all in a nanosecond. How can it happen and why does it happen? Nothing can prepare us for it. We don't know when it's going to happen. All we need to do is breathe and they seem to despise us. We don't even have to look at them. We don't even have to say anything. And sometimes they just respond in the most outrageous of ways. And the problem is we take it personally and we dial right into it. And when we do that, it goes downhill all the time. And the hardest thing about it is they can be so foul one minute and literally come over and give you a hug and say, "Hey, Mum, can you drive me to Katie's house or can you take me to Ben's place?" And we're still reeling from 10 seconds ago and they've kind of forgotten about it. They live very much in the present moment. They're unaware of how they are, how they come across. And we only have to, or I can only speak to for myself here, but I only have to think back to when I was a teenager. And I know my mum would say to me, why do you have to give me that filthy, horrible, disparaging look?" And I was kind of unaware that I'd even done it. And, you know, back in the day, if we were rude or snippety, or snarky, if we were like that to our parents, they just didn't tolerate it. And we were punished, many of us were punished for it as kids. So it kind of, the fear of being punished for being expressive outweighed the ability to be expressive. And if we can see it as a way in which they are expressing their deepest feelings. I remember as a teenager, what did we all want as a teenager? In fact, as a toddler, teenager and everything in between. We want to fit in. We want to belong. We want to be accepted. And any time that need is threatened, we lash out. And, you know, the toddlers might be strong-willed, they might even speak out. The teenagers certainly speak out and they have a great attitude. It can really do a number of on us and we take it personally. So I want to share on the show today what we can do to try and not take it personally, basically. How can we face the music and not allow it to get to us? Well, A, I'm going to share it's very, very hard. But I can actually just let it go for almost all the time. Even if inside it's doing a bit of a number on me, I now know, just don't say anything, don't dial in, don't take it personally, and try and just remove myself from it. So at least I'm not in the firing line. But some of you might be thinking, well, that's being permissive to it. That's allowing it. And there are times where absolutely, if the behavior is totally unacceptable and hugely disrespectful, then yes, absolutely, I call my kids on it. But the way I do it is really key. If I raise my voice and I've taken it personally and I've hooked in, usually my response will be laced and not quite so pleasant. We can totally say it in a way that they realize this is unacceptable. I'm not going to stand here and have you say these things to me when I have done nothing. But there's the deal. There's the answer. There's the solution. I'm not going to stand here and take this. So as long as you stand there and try and project it back onto them, you're actually taking it. So I recommend that you walk away and you don't storm out. You will storm out if you've gone into fight, flight or freeze. You'll either fight it and with the wrong tone and energy, you will argue and fight your way into it, dial into it, take it personally. Or you'll flee, you'll take flight and you'll storm out like a child yourself. Or you freeze like a deer in the headlights and then you feel like they've got away with it. So we have to be really careful that we've not slipped into fear and our amygdala is not driving the show and we're not now in fight, flight or freeze. This is difficult. But to do that, we have to remove ourselves from the situation with the right tone, with the right energy and say, I'm not tolerating this. And you walk away. It's not the time to say, what have I done to deserve this? If you think I'm going to take you to the mall now after you've just spoken to me like that and given me the cold shoulder, I hadn't even said a word, I hadn't even looked at you, don't you think you can get... See how easy it is for me to go on that rant? It's because that rant is, it's well rehearsed. I've done it so many times, I can slip back into it. But I don't do it, I rarely do it anymore. And I just, you'll be thinking, how and how do you not do it? I just know that it absolutely doesn't get me anywhere. So let's look at why a toddler or teen or anything in between might be snarky, judgmental, snippety, horrible, foul, sour, full of attitude, disrespectful. Why is it? Well, toddlers and teens are actually in a developmental stage, believe it or not, they're in a very similar place. As we enter our teenhood during puberty, any of the prefrontal cortex that has been wired over between the ages of, say, 7 and when puberty hits, let's just say 13, the prefrontal cortex has developed a little bit in those 5 years. It wasn't developed at all until they were 5 to 7. There's the other mistake we make with our toddlers is we expect them to understand anything that's rational or logical, and they haven't got the wiring in their brain to even comprehend it. So any work that has been done inside their little brains between the ages of 5 and 7 and 13 and the onset of puberty starts to undo. Dan Siegel talks about this. So it's very similar. A 5-year-old or 7-year-old has not got much executive functioning, and a 13 and 14-year-old is losing any executive functioning that they had. So they're at a similar stage neurophysiologically. Also, children are always trying to fit in. Add to the teen, they are a cauldron of hormones. They are highly emotional and it's a huge time for them. They're trying to work out who it is I am, just like a toddler is. Who am I? Where do I fit in here? How come no one listens to me? How come this? Why that? They don't express it, but it's going on inside. And as teenagers, they're really questioning their identity. There's a lot of insecurity and confusion in those teen years. I remember it vividly, and I'm sure you can too if you cast your mind back. And this is something that when you remind yourself of, you can use that empathy to help you step away from it rather than dial into it. Because half the time they're not doing it on purpose. They are just in that confused moment and they're highly emotional. They don't even know why they're feeling the way they are. They just are. So we have to dial out and cut them some slack and help them figure it out. And so they all want to be accepted. I want to be accepted. I want to fit in. I want to belong. Every man, woman, and child does. I'm going to ask a really, really pivotal question here. Do you accept yourself for who it is you are? Do you love yourself? Do you believe you are worthy? Do you believe you are good enough? Do you believe you are valuable? And the answers to those questions, sadly, for many adults, is not a resounding yes for every single one of them. So let's just generalize here and say there's not many of us accept ourselves 100% for who it is we are. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we always see something that is wrong. We don't often feel like we are worthy. So a teenager is desperately trying to fit in and accept themselves, but they are also questioning themselves. They're questioning their faces, their hair, their looks, their appearance, their weight, their everything, the way they dress, the way they carry themselves. Add to that, they now have the pressure of posting the perfect pictures of themselves on Instagram and the perfect video. And all that entire social media world has them looking to the outside for validation and approval, which takes away from that feeling on the inside of accepting yourself. If we only accept ourselves when someone on the outside says, I like that photo, I like your hair, oh, you're so pretty, you're so smart. And we're always looking outside for our worth and acceptance, then we don't feel it from within. And so here's the deal. We are actually walking in the same shoes as our kids. Because as adults, few of us accept ourselves, flaws and all, mistakes and all. Therefore, when our child doesn't accept us, because that's basically what happens. When they're rude to us, they're not accepting us. They're rejecting us. They're not loving us in that moment. And because we struggle with accepting ourselves for all it is we are, we're just mirroring each other. Their behavior is a mirror of our own. Our behavior is a mirror of theirs. And so, chicken or the egg? So we have to try and role model what it is we want our kids to do, which is feel like they belong and accept themselves. And so we need to role model that. And you might be thinking, well, I've never accepted myself. I've always seen all my flaws as things I'll never change. And, you know, some people will go as far as saying they hate themselves. And then when their kids turn around and say, I hate you, you're the worst dad in the world, or you're a horrible mother, because we don't feel good ourselves and we might hate ourselves or feel horrible ourselves, we then believe what they say. That's what's happening. We take it personally. So to role model it, we have to see, hear, understand, and validate ourselves. We have to reclaim our worth. And we do it so that we can see through their meanness for what it is. They are trying to be seen, be heard, be understood, to be validated, to feel like they're worthy enough, be accepted, belong in the crowd, fit in. So we have to do this for ourselves so we can role model it for them. And we have to accept that this is part of growing up. And the fact that so few adults can actually accept themselves is perhaps saying, have all of us adults really grown up? Have we really done the work we need to do in order to reclaim our worth and feel good enough about ourselves so that in the face of any behavior from any other given individual, when that behavior might question our sense of feeling good enough, we don't let it because we inherently feel good enough. And this is what I've done over the years. I have reclaimed my worth. I feel really good about myself. I accept myself. Yeah, sure, sometimes I can look in the mirror and think, ooh, 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 and pull myself apart. But by and large, I don't do that. Therefore, when my kids do, it doesn't threaten me. It's only threatening us because we need to do the work ourselves. So look at them and see them as the sweet, dear, beautiful babe that they were and still are. This is just a phase, and we want to help them move through that phase. We want to help them feel like they accept themselves, feel like they're good enough, that they're worthy. So we need to do the encouragement so that they can step into their truth and love themselves for who it is they are and all that they are. And during these toddler to teen years and everything in between, it is a great time of questioning, who am I? What am I? What am I here to do? Why am I going to do it? How do I feel about myself? And it's a big deal. So I often think about this when my kids are being snarky and not very nice to me. I see it for what it really is. Them trying to figure life out. Them trying to figure themselves out. And when I can look through that lens and not let it get to me, not believe their words at all. The words are just, they're just words. I don't let them penetrate. I don't let them go in. I certainly don't believe them when they say, you're the worst mother. I don't believe it. But if I believe it because I actually don't feel good enough about myself, I will feel like the worst mother. I will feel rejected by them. And we want to feel accepted. So we're all on the same path. And I hope that in my discussion and chat with you today, you will really look at yourself and understand that so much of what goes on between us and our kids is like a mirror image. We mirror each other. And we as the adult have to reclaim our worth, accept ourselves, believe in ourselves, trust ourselves, have courage, have vulnerability, maybe do some work. Maybe you have to go and have some therapy to get over some trauma that is affecting you, that is, you know, robbing you of this ability to feel satisfied with who it is you are. It's not always easy to do all that work. But when we can do that and we can see our kids for who it is they are, which are individuals and amazing human beings throbbing with their own signatures, as Dr. Shefali always says, and honor that and help them step into their truth and be rooted in it and be in alignment with their values and not just trying to fit in with the one crowd because they think they're the cool kids, but deep inside they're like, I don't like these people. Why am I even trying to be in that group? Then they come home to us, and then because they're questioning who it is they are, they're rude to us. And then because we don't accept ourselves and they're rude to us, we feel rejected by them. So we shit all over them. It really is a bit of a mess at times. So we have to not take it personally, but we have to go beyond that. And we have to do the work ourselves to reclaim our worth so that when they show up confused and lonely and not feeling like they fit in and not accepting themselves, we can guide them and we don't enter the drama, dial into it and become enmeshed in all the muck. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to share it on your social media platforms, to head over onto iTunes, rate and review it. When you do that, this podcast moves up the podcast chart. So it really helps other people who've not heard of this show find out about it and tap into it so that I can support them. So if you could do that for me, I would be really, really grateful. And all, as always, share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so that you will be notified of new episodes as they air. I always enjoy chatting to you. I thank you for tuning in and following me and allowing me to support you. It truly is an honor, and I really do enjoy talking to you on a weekly basis and sharing what wisdom I have, what experience I have, and my life as a parent coach helping parents all over the world. If you want to work with me, please shoot me an email, louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And if you're interested in working with me for a year, next year I will be offering the one-year group coaching program. It is going really well so far. The parents who are on it are really enjoying it. And I know at the end of this year, they're going to, I know, and I will sound maybe a bit bold and a bit, what's the word? I don't know, maybe even obnoxious, but I know they're going to say it was the best thing they ever did. So till next time, I look forward to speaking to you then, and thank you again for tuning in. Bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.